Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
So I'm very, very excited about this message. I've titled this message, On God. On God. And this is, we all have heard the Kanye and Jesus is King, and it is amazing. That's kind of where I got the idea from that song title was for this. But I got it, like I said, it's called On God, and we're basically, all I wanted to do is give you a dose of confidence tonight. A dose of confidence in moving forward or taking that next step or standing firm in where you are at. I want it to be a confidence for you to be able to see an example of God's promise and then the manifestation of that promise. I want it to be an encouragement for you, whether you are down and out or you have had, you know, your call and you're not operating in it, or God's given you a promise and you have not yet received it. I have a little bit of confidence for you tonight. Is everybody good with that? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for everyone in here tonight. Lord, I thank you that they're blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that their families are blessed. Their families are healthy. Lord, I thank you that they walk in supernatural favor. And Lord, I thank you that tonight you're preparing our hearts to receive your word. Lord, I thank you that they are your words and not mine. So Lord, I thank you that they hit every person where they sit. Lord, I thank you that as I stand on the stage, that I decrease so that you could increase. And then, Lord, that's translated into our everyday life. That our thought process is that we would decrease so that you would increase. And, Lord, I thank you tonight for a spiritual revelation in our lives. Lord, I thank you for a boost of confidence, for that refreshment that we're needing, the rejuvenation that we're looking for. And Lord, I thank you that it hits every person right where they sit, in the season that they're at, in the situation that they're in. And Lord, I thank you for mindsets to be changed, chains to be broken, and breakthrough in people's lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Okay, we're going to read a little bit of scripture tonight. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. I don't feel like you can ever go wrong by reading too much scripture. I've actually thrown around the idea. I think it'd be cool to do a message where all you did was just read the Bible. Because I feel like I don't know if that many people actually read it. So to be able to hear, it's like, oh, that is what it says. That is awesome. So we're not going to do that tonight, but we are going to read a few. Genesis 15, it's the first book of the Bible. It's real easy for you guys to find. You don't have to go to the table of contents. It's right there at the beginning. Okay, we're going to read 1 through 11. This can be out of the New Living Translation. If you don't have that, it will be on the screen. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and I will your reward will be great." And Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" The Lord told him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So Abram presented all of these to him, killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcass, but Abram chased them away. So here we're seeing a conversation between Abram and God, and he is saying, "Look, you brought me out of this place to this land that was promised to me. But I don't have an heir. I don't have somebody that's going to take this from me." I know that for me, when we had Charleston, who's now 3 and a half, almost 4, which is crazy, but when we had her, my whole mindset changed. Everything changed. It wasn't, "I am going to build wealth for me so I can enjoy it." No, it's, "I am building wealth for a legacy. I am not just fulfilling the call that God's placed on my life for me, but I'm setting the tone and setting an example for my children." It was a whole different mindset change for me when we had her. So for him, he's looking at it and he's saying, "You know, in this moment, I know that you've been so good to me, God. I know that you've given me this land and you brought me out of a bad situation, but I don't have an heir to give this to." That's all he wanted, was a son. A son is what he wanted. He wanted an heir. So the Lord promised it to him. And I look at it and think about Abram in this moment, who has had no kids after really trying, really just going through life. He should already have kids by now. Lord took him outside and pointed up into the sky. He said, "Look at the stars. Count them if you even can. That is how many descendants that you will have." That had to be overwhelming and frustrating at the same time for Abram, I would imagine. Just putting myself in that situation. Because he's looking up and he knows the current situation that he is in. He knows what it looks like now. But God's telling him that his descendants are going to outnumber the stars. There had to be some excitement because he knows what God has done and he knows the history of God. But then he also knows his current situation. He had to have this inner battle of, "I know the promise." It's just like when we're going through something, we're really standing, believing God, and we're freaking out, we're anxious, we're not sure how it's going to work out, and then it works out, and we're like, "Sorry, God, I know. You came through again. Every time you come through, but yet I still freak out every time. I must be the only one that does that. That is awesome that you guys stand firm like that. That's great. I don't. My outer appearance is very stoic and manly, obviously. And but it's, you're freaking out on the inside. That's, I would imagine that Abram at least had a moment of this. So then he goes to set up a blood covenant. What's interesting about this is he tells him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon." So it says that he killed them, cut them down the half, and put them on each side, side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. So just so everybody has a little glimpse into my life, I am a researcher. I know more useless things about the most random things than you would ever care to know. So obviously, in this moment, I thought, "What is what's the revelation I'm going to get by finding out that he didn't cut these birds?" I'm looking into it. I legitimately spent like 2 hours searching. It was just custom. There was no like reason behind it. That was just like what they just didn't cut the birds in half. That's the thing. I'm not going to say I was let down, but I had to recoup a little bit after that. So I just wanted to let you guys know there's no reason that he cut those in half. That just literally was the custom, and that's what they did. So then it says, some vultures swooped down to eat the carcass, but Abram chased them away. I thought this was so interesting that this part was in here, because I can relate to this. How many of us have been in a place where God has given you a promise, and yet somebody is coming in that has no place to talk, is coming in and chirping in your ear that you're not good enough. Chirping in your ear that it's never going to work out. Chirping in your ear that that is a terrible idea. Has God really called you to that? You're not good enough to do that. You don't have the tools to do that. Those are vultures. So I thought it was so interesting in here that he says that when vultures swooped down to eat the carcass, but Abram chased them away. I want to just, this is a sidebar. This is for somebody. If you have received a promise and yet you're hearing the talking from friends or family or people close to you, people that you think would have your back, talking negatively about it, actively shoo them away. They cannot control the outcome. It's like a gnat in the car when you're driving. We all know the summer's here, especially with how wet it's been, there are gnats, mosquitoes. It's a gnat flying around, and it is distracting you from where you are going. It poses no threat to you. It can't do anything to you. All it can do is irritate you. But yet when you start focusing on things like that, you start focusing on what your mom said or brother said or best friend said about the promise that God has given you, and you let that have a place, you have to actively shoo those vultures away. Genesis 15, we're just going to jump down. Talks a little bit about Abram sleeping, falling asleep, real deep sleep, which I'll tell you what, three kids, 3 1/2 and under, I'd like to know that sleep that Abram experienced. So we're going to jump down to 17. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by a whole bunch of ites. There's a lot of different ites. You can read that there if you care about the ites. I don't, because they're not going to be there much longer. But he wakes up and he sees the blood sacrifice set up. And this says that he sees a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch walk through the sacrifices. So in this time, it was custom that when there was a blood oath or blood covenant was made, they would make the sacrifices, they would separate the pieces, the sacrifices, they would stand in the middle, and they would make an agreement. They would stand there and say, whatever the agreement was, that was what they did. And that sealed that covenant, that sealed that oath. What's amazing about this is Abram fell asleep and he woke up and he saw the flaming torch walking through, the smoking fire pot. The flaming torch, which is God. He saw God walking through their blood oath or their blood covenant. Abram wasn't walking through it, but God was. As I move on to this message, this is going to be something that I want you to remember, because it is one of the greatest boosts of confidence that you could ever receive, is God walking through and making that blood oath or that blood covenant without Abraham. Hebrews 6:13. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath on his own name. There was no more sure thing to swear by for God, so he made it on his own name. So growing up, if you're in an argument or someone is questioning the validity of your statement, you would say something like, you would respond with something like, it's on me. Meaning you are putting all of your chips on you, that you're promising on you. Or you might say, on my mama. I never said that because I love my mama. I might not have been telling the truth most of the time then, so I wasn't going to say it. But you would say, on me. That meant everything. It's sriracha. You put it on everything. That's some Sorry. Older people in here, I get it. But no, it's you would say, that's on me. I'm going to come through with that. I'm going to make this promise and I'm actually going to fulfill that promise. That's on me. So God and Abram are having this conversation and God promises Abram. God here is saying, I promised you this. You are going to realize it. And that's on me. That's on my name. Because there was no greater name for God to make an oath by. Hebrews 6:19. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. When we can realize that God promises us something and that it is only on Him and has nothing to do with you, that's hope. Remember, we were talking about Abram and the blood sacrifice. When he woke up and saw God walking through and making that oath with himself, it took Abram out of the equation. That means whatever God has promised you, you are out of the equation. That is very, very good news. You can't mess it up. You can't do anything that God is not going to fulfill that promise that he's given you. All you have to do is stand the course. All you have to do is keep knowing or keep doing what you know to do. God is putting it on himself. He has taken us out of the equation. Anytime, and I truly mean anytime, I can replace me for God, I'm in. My ways, his ways, I'll take his. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. Do I want to enact revenge because someone wronged me? Or do I want to let God do it? I'm going to choose God. Why? Because I know I can mess up. I know that I can operate from a place of emotion or frustration or anger or pride or you name it. But I know that God has my back. I know that if he promised it, I'm going to see it as long as I stay in the course. So that is good news for you. Whatever God has promised you, he has not forgot about you. He has not left you. He is going to fulfill the promise that he has given you. All you have to do is stay the course. All you have to do is stand on his word. All you have to do is do what you know to do. What's hard about that is we look at it, and if you read further on the story, God says that he's going to give him this land, his descendants will occupy it in 400 years. That means Abram will not see it. And we're going to get frustrated with God and lose heart because he promised us something last week? Because he promised us something last year? Why should I have already seen it by now? Why am I not walking in the call that God's placed on me? Why am I still going through the struggle and the grind to, why haven't I taken the step in the next level? Why have I not moved forward? Why have I not moved on? We're seriously going to get frustrated over a small amount of time. But Abram stands knowing that he is never even going to realize it. That is how much he wanted a son. That's how much he was looking at the future and the legacy of his family and of his name. That's how much he wanted a son. The hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. If emotions go unchecked, they're going to rule everything in your life. If your hope is in your emotions, think about the last time someone cut you off on the highway. Good thing your hope is not tied to your emotions. Because it might not look right. It might not look good. You're not sure how it's going to work out. But it's been so long, I think God's probably forgot. That's not where our hope is. Our hope is in the Lord and in a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So we read in Genesis 15 to the 17 through 20 about when darkness fell and the sun went down, he saw the smoking fire pot and the flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. And the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day. Again, it was not reliant on Abram in any way, shape, or form. The promise that God has given you is not reliant on you in any way, shape, or form. It's all on God. God is so good. The good thing about God is he doesn't need us to be good. He's just good. That's what he does. Again, just a reinforcement of it has nothing, it's not relying on you. All you have to do is do what you know to do. In Genesis 22, it's where Abraham goes and the Lord tells him, he now has a son, his name is Isaac, and he tells him to take him to the mountain and that he's going to sacrifice him. We've all heard the story. Abraham put him, his son Isaac, the one that he longed for, the son that he wanted, he put him on the altar and was prepared to sacrifice him because God told him to. What's interesting about that is when we hear that story, we love it for Abraham. We love that story for somebody else. But in that moment, I wanted a son more than anything. Like when my daughter came out the first time, it was like someone asked me, what was it like having a daughter first? And I said, well, we don't find out what we're having. And she came out and she was a girl and I was supposed to announce the gender. And I will say, it's the first time, at that point I was 30, it's the first time in 30 years I have not had words to say. Could not come out. I'm like, this is a girl, not a boy. I'm not ready for that. And then like 8 minutes later, she had me wrapped around her finger and it's been like that ever since. But he tells him to sacrifice Isaac, and he's prepared to do it. Again, we love that for Abraham, but we don't for us. So I looked at this, and I thought, okay, how did Abraham get into a place where he would sacrifice what he wanted the most? How do you even get there in your mind? How are you prepared to do it? It was because of the blood covenant that he had already had with God. That blood covenant, that oath that he had with God was the reason that he was prepared to move forward with sacrificing his own son. He knew that God could not lie, and God promised him that he would have descendants that would equal the amount of stars that he could see. He knew that he would be multiplied. He knew that he would have a son. God told him that. So Abraham was able to move forward with this and just to trust God wholeheartedly because of the covenant that he had already had with God, that he knew God could not lie. The thing is, some of us will never see the harvest in our lives until we are able to take God at his word. You might be thinking, man, I've never seen that harvest. You will never see it until you can take God at his word. Until you're confident enough in what he says. That's where Abraham was. God made him a promise. He knew it was going to be manifested. There was no question in his mind because God took an oath on his own name. On me, I would like to think means something, but when God says it, it's a completely different story. And that's tied to every single promise in the word that God's given us. If you're sick and you're looking for healing, there's a promise for that. It's already on God. God's given you the promise for prosperity, that everything your hand touches will work. Nothing formed against you ever will. That's a promise. And it's on God. Has nothing to do with you. That is really, really good news, and I hope that's an encouragement for somebody. Because you cannot mess it up. It doesn't matter what you've done. You cannot mess up the promise that God has given you. Hebrews 6, 15 through 19, and I'm going to end with this. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure, not just confident, but you would be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor to our souls. It leads us into the curtain, into God's inner sanctuary. What's interesting about this story with Abram is God promised it, but it wasn't immediate. The manifestation of that promise was not immediate. There was some time in between. Same thing with Joseph. He received a dream. God gave him a dream. And 40 years later, he saw the manifestation of that dream. Abram here received a promise from God in what I would call a God moment. But it wasn't immediate. He didn't lose heart. So why are we freaking out because we haven't seen that promise manifested in a month, in a day, in a week, in a year? Yet, you stand on it that God took an oath and put it on his own name. So he's not going to let you down. It's not going to be a promise unfulfilled. That window, you are developed in the window between the promise and the manifestation. God's promise and then the manifestation. That's the window where you're developed. That's not necessarily a fun window. You think you're ready like a million times before you actually are. But when you're developed, God's prepping you to handle whatever is thrown at you, whatever weight you have to carry when you step into that call. You just can't grow tired. Galatians 6, 9. Don't grow weary in doing good. The New Living Translation says, so let's not get tired of doing what's good. God's given you a promise. You haven't seen it manifested. That's a development window. Use it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Well, it's really hard. I know. You keep going. Because whatever you're going through, the next time you go through it, it's not going to have the same impact that it has now. Why? Because you've been developed. The next time God gives you a promise, you tell somebody, they start talking down on it, talking negatively that it's not going to work out. You might start shooing them away now. You might start knocking them away from it. Hey, you have no place. There's no place for that. I know the promise. Are you going to listen to them or God? People are going to let you down. People are going to break your heart. God's never going to do it. So stand on that promise. The thing that gives us the strength and the fortitude to continue on is the covenant. That covenant. It might seem like it is unreachable. It might seem like that promise is extravagant. Well, that's the God we serve. And the good news is, you might think, I have this promise from God. This call has been placed on my life, but I do not see how I'm going to be able to do that. I'm not equipped to do that. Do you know? Look at me. I know the call that God's placed on my life. If you don't think for a second that when we were going to launch local, if you didn't think for a second, there was so many sleepless nights thinking, what am I doing? This is crazy. Why would I do this? And I can tell you, I literally sat down and had a conversation with Cass after our one-year anniversary. And I thought, first off, the devil's a liar. Because my biggest hang-up was literally having to speak 52 times. I'm like, I don't know that much of the Bible. No one knows that much of the Bible. Like, Billy Graham and Dad Hagen know that much of the Bible. Nobody else does. 52 weeks. And then we got done, I thought, oh, God's faithful. But I learned so much through that year. What's been great is, so my dad and I have been very close since I was a kid. I'm his only son, so a lot was riding on me. And going through what I've gone through with local has put him in a different eye for me. Put him in a different lens. I see it different. The weight that he carries. It's created a closer relationship with us. I now see it's not the decisions, it's not the things that have to be done, it's not the time in, it's all of those things while people's lives are weighing on you. I now see it. But if you'd have told me 5 years ago that that was going to be the case, you're crazy. No thanks. I like business better. I can go home and I'm not worried about what someone's thought process is sitting at home. I'm not worried about a 3 a.m. phone call I'm received because somebody in our church is not sure that life's worth living. I can sleep through the night then. I'm good. But stepping into that call, I have to stand on the promise of God. I have to stand on the oath. That's the foundation I stand on, is that blood covenant that God has with me. And it has nothing to do with me. While I feel like I am inadequate, that's good news. If you feel like you're inadequate to fulfill the call that God's placed on your life, that is good, because that means it has nothing to do with you. And it has everything to do with God. All we have to do is be obedient, be faithful, and just keep going. Too easy, we get knocked off for no reason, little reason. A small, tiny hurdle trips us up. So I want to tell you something. If you're in that developmental stage, in between the promise and the manifestation, don't quit. Please don't quit. Please don't quit. You have no idea when that manifestation is. You have no idea when you're going to realize and receive the promise. Please don't quit. God's going to prove himself faithful. He cannot lie. He didn't trick you. He's not playing games. Going, ho, ho, I'm going to give them this promise. Let's see how it works out. That's not what he's doing. So stand strong. Don't quit. When you've done all to stand, stand. 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 Well, I keep taking hits. Nothing's working out. I keep hitting closed doors. Praise the Lord God Almighty that you're hitting closed doors. Because on the off chance that that is the wrong door, you don't want to walk through it. I promise you that. But stand strong knowing that you are being developed. You're being hardened. You're being readied. because it just might be that that's the next step, is that manifestation. Don't quit.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.